Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Today, we're exploring how life has changed over the past few decades with the impact of globalization, technology, and new cultural trends. We'll also look at Ayatollah Khamenei's guidance on the Islamic Iranian lifestyle and what it means for us individually, for our families and societies. Let's dive into this important conversation together. Welcome, dear brothers and sisters, to your program, The Viewpoint from IRIB English Radio. This is Said Ali, the host, and I'm here to talk with my two great brothers, Brother Ali. Assalamu alaikum, dear brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, dear brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Really good to have you here, both
it's
of you.
It's a pleasure.
So let's start the talk with dear brother Ali. Many people say life in Iran, not just Iran, like other Muslim countries as well, is very different from 30 to like 40, 50 years ago. Can you describe some of the main changes in how people live today compared to the past?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam Muhammad and his purified progeny. Well, there are lots of changes and differences from different perspectives. So one of the changes that we are witnessing is the change that we see in the family life, or let's say the foundation of societal foundations, like the smallest one, the smaller one as a family life, and then to the larger scales, the society that we are living, communities that we live today. I mean, the kind of life that we had earlier, for example, the people or the villagers that they had earlier is totally different with what they have today. For example, the kind of products that the villagers are consuming today were the exact thing that they have been producing, let's say, 4 decades or 5 decades before. So they are not even ready to produce those things, and they prefer just to buy the brand new boxes of those products. Like, for example, for their breakfast, the cheese and butter that they have been producing in the villages. So we see that there are lots of changes. I mean, the tendency towards living in the cities and city life is, again, another change that we see. Also, again, the the villages are getting empty of inhabitants, so due to these changes in the life of the people, or trends and tendencies towards consumerism, the way that we are actually using the goods or the products that we are in need of is totally different with what and with our treatment and behavior in 4 or 5 decades before.
Shouldn't they have the right to just move to cities because they can have access to, I don't know, better healthcare system?
Definitely. So this is something that the thinkers and, let's say, government or the statesmen should devise on this, some solution in order to make the village a better place for life, so that not let the people to move towards the cities.
Yeah.
So it is their right to find more facilities that they think that these facilities are more available in the cities. So I want to say that, yes, these changes have been made. It's not only in our country. In every part of the world, we see such changes. And we see that, for example, in case you want to find some vacancies, and if you're after the employment of your youth, so you have no other choice except to leave the village and go to a city.
Yeah.
So these are the issues that happened, or the pressure of cyberspace, or let's say, I mean, the impact of cyberspace on the life of the people is something that we see it, I mean, very vividly. So we see that if you want to promote your product, so you just easily need to, I mean, propagate it or to work on it in cyberspace, and you'll see how easily it can be sold. So I want to say that, so the life has changed a lot. Even the relationship in family or the friends or the community members, and, or let's say in the smaller scales in families, we see that the relationship between family members are not that strong as before, because earlier, at least one member, to most extent, one member of the family members was working, and he was earning for the others, for the whole family. Now we see that both couples are in need of finding some jobs, and they both are working together in order to be able to survive.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Dear Brother Muhammad, speaking of changing lives, social media and virtual spaces have become part of daily routines. We all know that, and Brother Muhammad already mentioned it. So what impact do you think social media specifically has had on Iranian youth, like Muslim youth in general, Iraqi people, Pakistani people, all Muslim communities in general, good or bad? Can you just mention some of the most important ones?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. With regards to social media, there is no doubt that there have been fundamental changes in the society with the coming of social media. Now, what changes were for good and what changes were for bad are to be discussed on an individual basis, because we cannot generalize an impact and say, okay, see, social media was good or social media was bad as a package. We have to look at each one of them, what effects each one of them had. Was it good? Was it bad? Or was it just a consequence of it being around? Because certain things, they're not necessarily categorized as good or bad, but because of their coming, there are consequences that need to be mitigated.
Yeah.
Now, there are certain general vast and widespread impacts of social media that are generally considered bad, not only by the religious people, but generally by the society, by the authorities, by the people who care about the society, well-wishers of the society as general. Yeah. For example, anxiety is one of the very important things that people are now facing. These are diseases, rather, I can say. Insecurity, just by looking at others in social media.
Yeah, compare yourself.
Comparing yourself, it brings insecurity because some are good in one way, bad in the other way, but they don't show the bad stuff in the social media, of course.
And exaggerated.
Exaggeration and all of this. You also have, for example, anxiety, insecurity. There is also this habit of acquiring information in a very short and for the focus span, the time that that is available for just focusing.
Scrolling.
Because of the impact of scrolling and getting that information quickly and being very hasty in getting that information, then many students, especially these days, are not finding books and many of the focus-intensive education more adventurous these days because of that habit of scrolling and getting the quick information and moving on. The focus span has moved on. And teachers are facing one of the biggest and one of the most devastating impacts of this, because teachers are now finding difficulty in trying to explain the matter in the class. Mm-hmm. And so therefore they have to kind of make themselves and merge themselves in social media and try to develop educational skills in teaching skills in such a way that they're able to send or kind of, you know, transfuse that information in the minds of the students in the shortest span possible, because the attention has, you know, kind of destroyed. And so therefore, these are the impacts, and I think these are the negative impacts. But the positive impacts, it has brought in as a society together. The information spreading is quick. And again, this information spreading by itself is not something bad, but it can be bad if it's used in a bad way, because a lot of misinformation also happens through cyberspace and social media as well. At the same time, new crimes have been introduced with social media. For example, cybersecurity threats,
bullying,
identity thefts, all of these things have become very prevalent these days. You know, banks, when banking became something from your fingertip, losing your bank also became something as close to as, you know, as easy as, you know, a few clicks and fingertips. And so therefore, these are impacts. Now, for good, for bad, like I mentioned, needs to be discussed on a very individual basis. I generally tend to lean towards the negative impacts more, because it had more negative impacts than it had positive. And I believe this is not only because of social media itself only, but the philosophies and the worldviews backing this entire
social media. We haven't been ready for social media. Like, we haven't been ready for the speed of the growth of social media.
I won't say we haven't been ready. I wouldn't frame it that way. I would rather say that we didn't defend ourselves properly. It's not that we were ready or not. Because you see, I'll name very specific social media platforms: Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. All of these, they were designed taking very specific objectives in mind.
Yeah.
So Instagram is very different from Facebook.
Yeah.
And Facebook is very different from YouTube. YouTube is very different from Twitter. All of these have specific objectives, and they try to serve that objective. And these objectives are not necessarily very helpful and useful for the people. And the design of it itself, for example, Instagram, the entire design of it is try to attract and keep the people and lock the people in that platform and not allow them to move on.
Yeah.
Likewise, TikTok. Now, the design of it itself is impactful and it's negative. Sometimes the design is not negative, but the use itself is negative. Now, in many cases, design is negative. And so therefore, I wouldn't say we were not ready for it, but we did not defend ourselves properly. We went in, we indulged ourselves into these cyberspaces and social media without having proper thought.
Thank you so much. So Brother Ali, Ayatollah Khamenei has spoken about the need for a clear Islamic Iranian model of life. What does the term Islamic Iranian model of life actually mean in simple words?
Well, if we want to look at it simply, as you're asking in simple words, so the model that Ayatollah Khamenei is introducing is a combination of three main factors in it. It consists of iman or belief, adl and justice, and it consists again ilm or knowledge. So it's like a triangle having three dimensions. One is belief, the other one is knowledge, and the third is justice. So again, this belief should be based on an Islamic system, which is based definitely in Tawheed, uniqueness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this Tawheed, that there is no creator, there is no God, there is no Allah except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this concept by itself even is something unique in, if you want to compare it with other religions or either Abrahamic or non-Abrahamic. The concept itself is to some extent unique. I mean, even from this perspective, from the first angle of it. Again, as for justice, so because when in this pattern that we're talking about is going to lead to an ideal Islamic civilization, so it requires development and progress. So this development and progress should be based on a justice. So what do we mean by this justice? Is this development or progress that we are talking about is something that has been taken from the Western concept, which is free or which is empty from any justice? I mean the development is for the sake of man and cares for only me as the person who lives in this world, and it doesn't care for others. But no, justice, we see that this is the mission of all the prophets, all the messengers of Allah from day one of creation till today. All of them came to, all of them have been sent to establish justice. So this justice is very important by itself. So even in development and progress that we're talking about, which is going to be a base for the Islamic civilization, so this justice means that this development should be based, this justice that all the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are going to be benefited from this justice in based on the justice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually gives the right of anyone, the right of any creature to itself. So it's based on ilm. The ilm that, what kind of ilm are we talking about? What is the meaning of ilm here? So the ilm by itself, again, needs to be defined. So this ilm is something that reaches us to tawheed, to this uniqueness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these three elements are actually interconnected to each other. Mm-hmm. So based on these three angles, we can plan the roadmap for Islamic civilization. And based on that, we, inshallah, hopefully we will be able to reach to this inshallah model that Ayatollah Khamenei is talking about.
Thank you so much. That will be all. Today's discussion reminds us that while challenges are real, the greater task before us is to build our own model of life, one that draws strength from our faith, our families, our youth, and our rich culture. This is not just an option. It is essential for shaping our future. Thank you, all of you, for listening to this conversation. Till another episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Show that you're the one. so close, everyone will say, please save me, except Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها لنا يوم القيامة. أمتي أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها أنا لها.